Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the holiday edition of our teleconference calls. In case you're new and you don't know who I am, my name is Mel Friedman, and at Christmas on this year, I will be celebrating my 6th anniversary of being Morgellons free. Tonight, at some point in time, we're going to talk to a couple of guests that have recently gotten well, and they're going to answer some questions from my co-host, Peter, and there he is, and they are then going to field questions from you when they finish answering Pete's questions and tell you in their own words their story. So be patient, and you'll get a chance to ask questions on the subject of getting well. And we already know about our first conference call in January, which we'll announce a little later in the show. So first, I'd like to say hello to our guests, Ellen. Hello to Bill. Hello to Pete, my co-host tonight. And hello to John B. from Logos Nutritionals, who I will always claim is the prime reason that I am still on the planet Earth today. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to my little brother and ask him to get the show on the road.
Very good. Thank you, Mel. Hello, everybody. First of all, Mel, I would like to thank you for this opportunity. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm thrilled to be here because I'm feeling so terrific. I feel so good. So I would also like to welcome all the new listeners out there, and I think you'll find this an exciting experience in which you'll come to understand that these conference calls can be very, very useful in providing you with information and networking with other people, many of which have gotten well and are continuing to get well. So welcome, everybody. And that having been said, I would like to say hi to Bill Mead. Bill, are you there?
I would be here, Peter.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And you?
Very well, thank you. Very, very well today.
Good.
And we want to thank you for taking the time to join us tonight, Bill. You're a very special guest in terms of what you've been through, and particularly your recent move, your relocation from North Carolina to San Diego. And Mel has informed me that you are the very first to have made a successful relocation without becoming sick again, so it goes to the heart of just how well you've become. I want to congratulate you on that, and once again, thank you for taking the time to be here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we've all got some questions, and I'd like to go ahead and get started. The one thing that many people want to know is how we find this website. So How did you find this website, Bill? Can you share with us how you came to find the website?
I did. When I realized that I had something that was serious, after I went into the hospital, in the VA hospital, and to my doctor, Medicare doctor, and then another doctor, they didn't know what it was. We don't know what it is. Go home and kill the bugs. That's what their answer was. Meanwhile, I get these paper cuts, and all of a sudden blood would start coming out of on the back of my hand, of like the size of a pinhead. All of a sudden, it would just start bleeding. And so I didn't know what it was. I kind of panicked at that point. I remember it was a Sunday, and I just did a lot of research on the internet, both Saturday and Sunday. And it was kind of scary, you know, for the first 15 or 20 websites. And I think I put in, I forgot, it's something I didn't know what Morgellons was, so I couldn't put that in Google. But I think I found it. Somebody said, I got bitten by something and I don't know what it is. Okay, that started. All of a sudden, I started seeing more. Then I started seeing the name Morgellons come up. And then I looked at some of those websites, and you talk about being terrified, you know, because some were just, you know, the horror stories and then the pictures and so forth. Just, oh, my God, that's what I'm going to have. And then I came across, hours and research later, Mel's website, How I Carried Morgellons. Oh, this is it, you know, that was it. And then, but the website didn't look like it was active because there weren't a lot of posts on it or recent. So I left a message with Mel and saying, I wonder if you could help me out. I found you on the website, and, you know, I'm terrified of what I have, and I don't know what to do. And I remember Mel, when he called me back the very next day, which I was surprised, just gave me a call right away, and he says, I could hear the fright, the nervousness and the tenseness in your voice. And I was just panicked. And so he just helped me out right from the beginning. And that's how I found the website.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, there's some similarities between my journey years in that regard. Well, what made you decide, Bill, to commit to this protocol?
Well, you know something? It said How I Cured Morgellons. I didn't see anything else out there. And Mel was a very kind guy, and he understood, and especially when he said he had, and I look at the pictures, and I said, well, you know what? This is it. I really didn't have anything else, anywhere else to go, because I couldn't go to the medical community. They'll say, well, we don't know what it is, so go home and here, take this itching compound or whatever and put it on a topical treatment. And I'm thinking, this is not going to work. And so that's when I decided to go full bore into the protocol.
And once you started, you did go full bore, buddy. You made it all the way. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yes.
So, you know, at a point in our recovery, Mel has often made it a point to prepare us that the disease has many, many things that are hard to understand. And I think it would help people, and I know I've often wondered with others, you know, Mel prepares us. How did you come to understand that you should get sick, you know, more sick before you get better? How did you come to understand that?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I did not. I say, well, listen, I've been healthy all my life, and I was in my late 60s at the time, and I'm thinking, you know, I'll probably get over this thing pretty quick because I thought that I caught it early. I didn't know till a month later how serious this was or is. And so I remember telling Mel, well, Mel, I said, I caught this early. I'll probably be over it in 3 or 4 months. And, you know, that was. And then I.
Try not to laugh.
Yeah.
But, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was sick, and I was just. At that point, you go through a lot of emotions, and it was just, and that's, I know you got a questionnaire, that what's the hardest thing for you, and that was it, the emotions you go to, because I think everybody's case is going to be different, because everybody's body is different, and everybody's emotions might be different when they get this. In my case, I was kind of like had a bug attack or bacteria attack, whatever you want to call it. And it was Morgellons, whatever we want to identify or identify that. And then I had mites in my house. Now, those mites were there when I lived there, so I was there for 4 years. They didn't bother me at all. And then I started having these other creatures in my house, I had all these exterminators come in. Nobody could identify them. And they said, well, see if you can get them in a little container and give us a call. And when I'd call back and say, hey, listen, I got some of this, nobody ever returned the call. So I was on my own. They didn't want to touch it because they didn't want to deal with mites. That's a big thing. Very few. Because there's so much money in bed bugs that these guys are busy and they could care less about mites. So you're on your own again. So that was but when you say as far as, I didn't know I was going to get.
So you were exempted from getting, yeah, from having to experience symptoms again and again, repeating, getting more sick, so to speak. It's different for everyone, of course, but that wasn't as much as it is for others. Okay. Yeah.
Like I got a couple of lesions and they were very small on my arm, and the only reason why I got those because I had a pimple with a little whitehead on top, and I accidentally scratched it, and that became a lesion, and I still got that mark there, and two spots there. But that's all, so I did not get lesions. The only other thing that maybe I started getting was the, you know, when it says, hey, I got bit by something, I don't know what it was. And, you know, it usually in the middle of the night. 2 or 3 o'clock, it would wake me up if I was sleeping. It would wake me up and, whoa, what was that? You know, and usually it was on my butt. So that's when I got the lint roller, and I lint, and I'm looking, and I really couldn't see anything. And then I started getting one of those little loop magnifiers, like the jewelers use. And I had one that was 60 magnification. And then I looked and, whoa, what is this? And that's when, you know, I saw fibers, the fluorescent ones, you know, ones that were pink or red or whatever color, blue, crystal, and green. It was kind of scary. And I saw that. And then I saw other creatures, too, on there. And sometimes I lift the covers and look on the bed, and there was nothing there. And but it's interesting when I did go through that, I noticed that all of a sudden creatures started coming from everywhere attacking me. But, you know, I don't, let me just tell you, can I start from the beginning here, how this happened?
But we're going to let you tell your story when we're done with the questions. But the question, the question is actually, when I talk to everyone, I tell everyone many times in the beginning that if you're going to get well, you're going to get sicker first. And the question is, did you ever come to realize that point?
Yeah, I did. And I think when I got sick is when I started doing the Herc thing. And actually, it was before that. Because once I started getting these, all of a sudden there was more brain fog. And then there was the fatigue factor. Meanwhile, I'm trying to do a full-time job. Thank God I had a home office, but it was just... it was very difficult for me. That's when I was getting sick.
Right. That's what I remember with you at the beginning, William. And it's important that people do not get afraid when they get sicker at the beginning. That really means that this protocol is starting to work. I'm sorry for the interruption.
No, thanks. That's important for the new folks out there that they fully understand that. You know, I'm here a very long time, folks, and it's been a bumpy road. But once you understand and you grow to know that, you know, it's very normal for we get well in stages for symptoms to continue to reappear and give you the feeling that you're getting sick. So to know that means you don't get scared. You know, you roll with it. And it's real easy for people like myself, too, to forget how far I've come, you know. So it's a long journey and it takes time. But when you see these things, especially the new folks, we want you to understand that that means you have to get more sick before that's how it comes out, and that's actually the way to get well. So, Bill, I have a question for you. This one was asked of me when I filled the role as a guest like you are tonight, and I found that it stirred a lot of thinking on my part after the call. So thank you, John, for the question that you asked me in that regard. It created a lot of growth, and I'd like to ask the same question to you. What was the hardest thing for you, Bill? With this, with your journey, what was the hardest thing?
I think the emotions that I went through, the depression, the sadness, the anger. You know, God, why'd you do this to me? You know, and the how frightened I became, and I was scared. And I said, "Geez, what's going to happen?" I had no idea, and there was really no definitive answer out there. That was the toughest thing. And the other thing was. Physically was the cleaning of the house, because I finally did get an exterminator in there, and it was hard to find them. It took me about 6 months before, it was longer than that, I think, about 8-10 months before I finally got someone in there. And they checked the attic, and he said, you know, you got mites up there. And he said, it looks like there's a trail, because there's insulation up there, and the mice were coming in the house and doing these trails. He said, it looks like they've been there for years. I said, really? He said, but it was the summertime, so the mites were gone. Okay, or not the mites, but the mice were gone, but the mites were there. And he says, what they do, they look for a host. And so, you know, usually they don't attack human beings like that. But if you're sick, and I remember Mr. Common Sense said one time, you know, let's face it, folks, these creatures think you're dead. And so, you know, that made sense, because all of a sudden I started getting attacked by everything. I mean, it was just...
But it was the emotional. It was emotional aspect of that. That was hardest for
that
you.
That was the toughest.
Yeah,
that was the toughest.
I can understand that. And, and for folks listening, you know, sometimes the emotions. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted to let people understand that it's an emotional battle too. You know, that your emotions are going to challenge you.
It was. And even when you're going through those emotions, you still have to function during the day. And so that was the next hardest thing, was the cleaning. I mean, you know, doing the laundry and then vacuuming every day. And so what I did, and finally, after I think 4 or 5 months, I was just exhausted. So I threw out my mattress. I threw out, I even took the furniture out of the room, the wood, and I put in plastic. I'm not so sure I had to do that now, but I did. So I had plastic containers to put clothes in. I tore up all the rugs in the whole place. I took off all the fabrics. I threw out any fabric furniture, like a recliner and so forth, and a chair, everything, fabric.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know. And it was,
Well, before you tell your story, brother, I'd like to know how's it feel to be well again? I personally know,
terrific.
But I'd like you to tell others how does it feel, Bill?
You and I shared our stories over the last 2 years here. It feels great. I feel terrific right now.
Get to the point.
What's that?
No, somebody was talking that wasn't muted. That's all right. Continue, Bill. How does it feel to be well again, William?
It feels great, and I feel terrific. It was a long haul, but I tell you what, it was certainly worth it, sticking to the protocol. That's the biggest thing, and which includes, you know, the diet, and watch what you eat and drink. That's the important thing.
Well,
all right, Pete, I think he wants to tell his story, don't you?
Yeah. I just want to say that you and I have become fast friends, and I want to congratulate you on staying the course and proving once again that if you do dedicate to this protocol, you get well. So congrats, Billy, and tell us your story real quick if you can.
Yeah, it'll be quick, because if I had to tell the whole story, I'd tell you it would take 2 hours, because I've been through so much with these critters that I had to find and get and finally eradicate from my house. But I'll tell you how it started. I think it was in August. And I was in my home office, and I'm in front of the computer all day, and I'm typing, and all of a sudden, and the knuckles on both hands were scratching, and I get real red, and I have to keep on scratching them. And that kept on going on. What's this? And all of a sudden, my Bermuda shorts on, and all of a sudden from the rug, I felt these things pinging my legs. I have no idea what those were. To this day, I still don't know what that was. But I have to scratch my legs all the time. And then after that, I noticed there's these little paper cuts on the back of my wrist here. It's I'm thinking, what is that? A little paper cut. And then all of a sudden, I noticed I start to get little like a little pinprick. I didn't feel it, but all of a sudden I look, and all of a sudden there's a little blood spot there, and on the back of my hand. And all of a sudden, then there was little pimples on my groin area, and especially on my chest. And that's when I said, oh, something's wrong here. And right then and there, so that was about 2 weeks of that lasted, and I noticed my energy was not there, and I was getting fatigue, real fatigue, and then the brain fog. The brain fog did not last long for me, but when it was there, you know, I'd be talking to someone, and 20, 30 seconds later, I'd forget what I was talking about. So during that time, you know, I had contacted Mel, and he told me what to do and so forth, so that's when I started getting in the protocol. And, you know, it takes a while for that to go through your system and so forth before you start feeling better. And then we got the MMS and started taking that one drop at a time. And so as time went on, I was getting a little bit better. And so that was good. Keeping in mind, I was still fighting the bacteria or the bugs that were in my domain there. It took another, I think, 8 to 10 months before I tore everything out. So I was just vacuuming the downstairs and the upstairs, and I was just getting fatigued. And that's when I threw out the mattress and so forth, and I went out and I bought the single bed and a metal frame, put that on there. And, you know, the way I was living there, I'm thinking, I said, nobody believe this. I took pictures. I said, this is just incredible. But at nighttime, you know, I mean, I wouldn't get to bed till 12:30, 1 o'clock because I couldn't sleep. And so at nighttime, maybe around 11 o'clock, 11:30, I would take a shower. And all of a sudden, I'd feel it. All of a sudden, I'd be starting to bleed again. You know, it was things like that. And then I'd have to go to bed, and then my scalp would itch. And I think the second night, when it was really itching, the second night I took a shower, and I said, yeah, I can't put my head down that pillow. And I was afraid to. So that's when I got a shower cap, and that didn't quite work. So believe it or not, I got a Ziploc bag. I remember it was like 10 and a quarter inches that with the opening. And I took that little zipper thing off, and I just pulled that over my head so it was kind of flush to my forehead and going around to the back of my head. And what I did is I took those little dryer sheets, just known a dryer, I forgot what they're called. You know, but there's a smell to those, and evidently bugs don't like that smell. So that's I used that, and then I would spray my head with Clean Green. And then I'd put that plastic Ziploc bag on. That worked. I probably did that for 2 or 3 months, but I'll tell you what, it worked, because then I had them going to my nose and the ears, and then I started using the Clean Green in my ears, and it was just one thing at a time. That's what I had to do. But gradually, over time, it just got a little bit better, month after month after month. And then when I did my Herx, which was at the 17th drop, it wasn't a real violent one, but it was enough. And then I pulled back, and I started going up again. Then I had another Herx, and I think I had 3 or 4 of them. But they weren't violently for me. Mostly it was like the dry heaves or whatever. Sometimes it might have been diarrhea. Sometimes the worst one was they just all of a sudden just started sweating. And I'm a person that doesn't sweat. I can work out, and I just don't sweat that much. But all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, I mean, I was soaked. It was just absolutely pouring out of me. But that's all those toxins that were just being pushed right out. And after that, I think, oh, good. You know, I just felt great, and I slept. Boom. Because I was just so exhausted, I just slept right through. And so that's how it was, you know, just a little bit at a time. And then, you know, learning how to, you know, with help from the community, learning how to do washing clothes and so forth, and what to eat and different recipes and what to drink. And that's what I did, completely changed my diet for the food and the drink. And some of those things I'll probably never touch again in my life, which could be that, like the milk. I drink almond milk now. A lot of other things. I ate a lot of processed food because being single and being on a rush, running all the time, I think, you know, I'll just eat it this time. But, you know, that's the way I thought. I said, wow, this stuff is good. You know, look at this Dole and so forth. And it's, it has, it's a nice chicken parmesan or whatever it was, and in a bag. But all it's processed food. So you get all the chemicals that go along with it. And that's when I realized, you know, that's what I did. And so I went to my naturopath, and that was about the second month I went to him, and he did a blood test and everything else, and that's when he said, you know, he said he didn't know much about Morgellon, but he had heard about it. But after the blood test, and they took 6 vials of blood, and he said, you know, you got Lyme disease. I said, I do? And he said, yeah, you also have H. pylori. And I didn't even know what H. pylori was. He explained that. So I got that taken care of. It only took 2 weeks to take that out of my system. And then with the Lyme, he said, you know what, it's just a small amount, so we won't even bother with that. So, okay, I didn't really know much about Lyme disease. But anyway, that's what it was. So, and again, just sticking to the protocol and everything else a little bit, I got better each time. And then I would try different foods and so forth to eat, so I'd have something just besides spinach salad, you know, and organic rice or whatever. So I had different things. Then I found out quinoa and added other things to my diet from there. But even now, it's kind of limited. But, you know, I mean, so out now.
You know, Bill, one of the things I know working with you and getting to know you over the last year was your commitment and your dedication to the guiding principles, much like I did in this protocol. You concentrated on diet. You learned and read as much as you could on the website and asked as many questions as you could. You were willing to stay patient and not mix protocols in the midst of some things that we're going through. So, you know, what you are is, in my opinion, is a further example that when you do work the sum of the parts, when you do stay patient, and when you do pay attention to diet and all the other guiding principles that we hold to on this website and in this community, you get well. So you were challenged with the trip, and I realized that you places across the country as you traveled, and those has allowed you to the best shot for making it. without any setbacks, which you did. So once again, I want to congratulate you. Your story is a beacon of light, and many, many commonalities between yours and mine. And thanks for sharing, bud. Good job. Yeah. Appreciate all your time and telling us about it. Because I know it's not easy to look back.
Yeah, it's one heck of a thing. You have to be cured. If you're going to be cured, you have to do it. I mean, you have to make that commitment. You have to do the discipline. You have to originally, when this first started initially, I stayed away from coffee, and I probably did that once. And it works. And now I'm back to coffee on a regular basis, so it's good. It's that discipline that's the key in the commitment.
Well, let's remind everyone, you're back to coffee after over 30 months on the protocol, so I guess you earned that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
Mel, anything else you would like to, or John, anything else you folks would like to ask Bill?
Well, I was John, if he wanted to ask Bill anything before we opened to the audience. And let me remind everyone who wasn't with us earlier that in order to ask a question, you keep your keypad on the phone and you star five, and that's on my screen. Then I you to ask a question. But first, let's see if John question you'd like to ask Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, John.
It's John. How are you, buddy? Great job with telling your story. Appreciate it very much. It's always so enlightening for to learn from the mix we met, and also be inspired by the things that we accomplished. What I was going to ask you is just what you learned as a result of the soul experience. I mean, if you had to boil it into, main thing.
I've got to say, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about life and so forth. And I was always held. They said, "Well, even when I got hit the line, I'm being tested on right now again." I said, "Man, life is short." And I said, "Nothing ever happened to me." And then it did. All of a sudden, it did, in a big way, So that's because I got that. So, and that's part of it. That's what it is. Me, more driven to watch what I do in the diet, and especially what I drink a lot of alcohol. I wasn't an alcoholic. I just drank party time. I don't do it anymore. I might have one or two. That's it. And so, yeah, that's what I learned about me. What I have to do. To make this work.
So it's about just living more intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Yeah, that would definitely have to be what I've learned from serving those in this community. That's the thing. That's kind of a common thing I see coming out of the stories and the transformations that we see all the time. Well, that was it for me, Mel. Until anything, whatever else comes up next.
Well, how about we open it up to questions from anyone out there that might have questions for Bill? You got an opportunity to talk to somebody that's gotten well again, incredibly well again, and please feel free to ask questions. In the ominous
hi,
tone of no questions.
I heard a hi,
sorry,
Bill.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hello?
No?
Yep, go ahead.
Hi.
Okay,
I'm
very good.
Question.
Okay.
You mentioned using clean green and baggies on your head. Can you explain that a little bit further?
Yeah, clean green was terrific. I mean, that just Peter can explain that better, what it does as far as killing the critters but that worked. That took away the itching, and it actually, I might be wrong on this, but penetrates into the scalp a little bit. So, I mean, that really works. And actually, every once in a while, I still use it on my head, and because I will get itching, and I don't know for a fact that it's entirely out of my head. And so, but that works terrific. And I'll tell you what, when I had a lot of itching on my chest, I used Clean Green. And I'll tell you what, I put that on, and that itching stopped within 3 or 5 minutes. It was gone. And because if I didn't, I'd be itching all night, all over the place. And so the Clean Green was a savior. That was a terrific product. And that was the only thing. When I was doing my laundry and had to clean mites and other critters that were in the laundry, it was hard to get them out, because what happened was some of these things could survive the hot water and everything else by going into the hem of the, let's say, a T-shirt. And so when I put the T-shirt on at nighttime to go to bed, and I all of a sudden I'm getting bit again. And I use the MMS, and the MMS, it worked somewhat, but it didn't work totally. When I used the Clean Green in the laundry, it worked 100% of the time. That's when I started getting better. And so, I mean, I was getting bit. I want to tell you something, for a year, I was so frustrated. And Mel remembers that. I'd call him up. I said, Mel, this MMS is not killing these things. I'm still getting bit. And that's when the Clean Green came along. And when I used that, it stopped right then and there.
Can we ask who that was that asked that question? Who was that asked that question? Oh, okay. Anybody else have questions for Bill? Any other questions for Bill?
Why don't we move on to Alan?
Bill, thanks again.
Wait a minute,
be well,
wait a minute.
And congrats again.
There we go. Another
Thank
question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, we got another question for you, Bill.
Okay.
Yes, I this is Kent C.A.K. Brown, and I have a real critical question, because, you know, I had a journey like you, my friend. So what restrictions in your diet did you have to immediately improvise?
Well, taking out all dairy, which includes any cheese, taking out all processed food, anything that was in a box or in a plastic bag, getting rid of that and going strictly organic. Well, not strictly organic, because there's some organics I couldn't totally afford it, everything in my budget. So, but using as much as I could as far as organic foods. And but then I found like organic brown rice. You know, I get that at Trader Joe's. It works terrific. In fact, I just had a bowl with it here. That's what I do. And you eat as many raw vegetables as you can. I used to eat a lot of salads and
about no sugar.
Absolutely.
Nah, yeah.
Positively no sugar. I don't care what it is.
No bread.
One piece. Yeah, that
no
that's
bread.
And no bread. You're right. You know, the only bread I ate now, and this is the only place I could get it, was the Trader Joe's organic brown rice bread. And that's good for you. Because I always love bread. I don't even touch bread now, and except for that, the organic brown rice, and that's at Trader Joe's. And so, what else was I gonna say here? Let's see.
You know what I was gonna say too? I wanna just go ahead and say that my first couple months, I wanna tell you that I know exactly that bread you're talking about. It's kind of weird. It's not like normal bread. Yeah, and that and the almond peanut butter, that really got me through those real critical moments when the sugar cravings hit hard. I appreciate you telling me all that, because I remember that journey. That was really harsh, and that got me through it a lot too. Yeah, exactly. That bread. That's funny that you mentioned that bread.
Well, I'll tell you,
that was magical bread.
I looked at that in Trader Joe's, and the stuff is hard as a rock. I used to tell them, and after about 4 or 5 months, I said, yeah, you better have somebody look at that bread. I think it's out of date or whatever, because it's so hard. He goes, oh, no, that stuff's really good, but you got to toast it. If you don't, it's a little bland. If you toast it, it's terrific.
Let me say something to you, the new young man. We have an articles and diet section, which I think if you go and you read some of the articles and then you click on recipes, you will find a plethora of things that you will even enjoy that you can eat. But for sure, there are certain things that you absolutely can't stay in touch with because you'll only feed the disease.
Agreed.
And is this Kent? Did you say, is it Kent?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Kent C. Yeah, I'm not, you know what?
For your question. This is Peter.
Not a problem.
Thank you for your question. And
no problem, Peter.
I just wanted to tag team on Mel. The Logos Nutritionals website has probably the most informative group of articles that you can really glean the types of knowledge for, to where you understand physiology and biotrain restoration and the science that we use to get better. So aside from our site, which is where you should start, you know, as you get better, you might find your way to the nutritional site and go to their article section. Lots of really good articles there also.
Very good, guys.
Yeah, we have
thanks for the question, Kent.
Well,
area code 206, you wanted to ask a question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I wanted to ask a question to Bill. Hi, can I ask a question about the clean green on the hair, on the head?
Mm-hmm, yep.
How do you do that? How is that applied? Do you leave it on? Do you just shampoo your hair with it, or?
I think some people were shampooing their hair with that, but what I did is I just put it in a spray bottle, and the mixture, I believe, was a 7-to-1 on that, and it goes a long way, but that was terrific. Yeah, I just sprayed it on my hair.
So you dilute it 7-to-1, like? Yep.
Seven parts of water.
Okay. Thank
seven
you.
Parts.
Yeah, 7-to-1. That's the mixture on that. Put that in a spray bottle. It goes a long way. And anytime you have any itching in your hair or anywhere in your body, spray that on. It'll take it right away. That stuff is terrific.
And did you get hair?
Are there any other cool? Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'm just curious if you had hair loss because of it in your scalp.
I remember that. I used to ask people that. What, is my hair going to fall out? I did not. Not at all.
Okay. Thank
you. It was probably good.
And who was it that asked this question? Who was this?
I'm Kelsey, and this is my first time
Kelsey.
On a call with you guys. Hi.
Well, hey, welcome, and thanks for the great question. I had a lot of success with that particular product, too. You can find that on on John's site, and many people have come to realize that it works real well on the scalp, so...
I thought it was a toxic.
Thanks for the question.
It was kind of toxic because the smell is so strong.
Yeah.
The smell?
Yeah.
I thought I remember green.
It definitely has pungent smell. Okay, this is.
It has its own smell. That's true, but.
Okay, let me.
It's effective. So.
I never could afford clean green. I never used it to treat myself in any way, shape, or form. I got more hair than anybody I know.
and you know
I'm
what?
Losing
different
hair.
Things. Different things work for different people. So I had a lot of luck with sulfur soap and tea tree oil soap.
I just want everyone to know that not everybody did the same thing, and not everybody can afford certain items. That's all. So, do you have any more questions, young lady?
Not right this minute. I have a ton of questions, but I'm just going to wait and listen to what people say.
Okay, well, we try to have conference calls. It appears now almost every month. So, ultimately, we're going to get to the one that's going to be the most valuable for you. But you hang out, and you'll get a chance to ask more questions as we move
on. Yeah, I have one general question, but I don't know if it's not specific to Bill, but will there be a time I can ask that?
End the show. We'll field all the general questions then.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mel? Okay, Crystal, thank you.
Mel?
Yes, we have another question from area code 609. Yes?
John, did you want to say something?
I did, because if I don't say it now, I'll forget. I just would like to make a quick comment for Kelsey as it relates to hair loss in Morgellons. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely, John.
All right. There are a lot of people who have Morgellons who suffer with hair loss, and in my opinion, the hair loss is not related to the Morgellons at all. It's related to the disturbance of metabolism, and most likely and most importantly, thyroid dysfunction. So what we see, one of the things we see so often in people who have Morgellons is that their thyroid is not operating sufficiently, and hair loss is a hallmark symptom of low thyroid activity. So as you go through the protocol, just know that some of the things you're doing are being done indirectly to support the thyroid, and some people have to actually get direct support for their thyroid in addition to the protocol, and that is done by prescription with a full-spectrum thyroid glandular like Armour or Nature Throid. But you'll have to work with a doctor for that. And if you're experiencing hair loss, they would want to eliminate that as one of the causes. And thank you for letting me say that, because if I didn't say it now, I'd forget.
Thank you, John. Any other questions for Bill before we say goodnight or let him go? Let him lose.
I think we got one more again from area code 206.
Yeah, that was just me again about the hair loss. I am being treated for thyroid issues. I've had them for a very, very long time.
That's
okay.
Good.
Another from area code 609.
Yeah, hi. Who's this?
609.
You have a question for Bill?
They hand, but they're not saying anything. All right. 714. Have a question for Bill? Or 609. Do you have questions?
All right. Yeah, Bill, I was wondering, this is Mary, and I was wondering when you cook, did you use things like the microwave and plastic? Did you try to stay away from BPAs and things like that in the water bottles?
Oh, absolutely. Well, whether you got Morgellons or don't, I mean, I think that's a must to stay away from almost anything that's plastic, and any plastic container in the microwave, or any like Saran wrap or something like that. Nothing.
Well, did you use the microwave at all?
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I did. You know, there's a lot of issues about that, and whether or not to use a microwave. You know, you hear the, hey, just throw it out because of radiation. You know, I'll tell you what, when we go through, you know, to heat up a stove every time just to get, like, a warm-up water or something, it's difficult. But if I put it in the microwave and I don't stand right in front of it and stare into it and see how it's doing, you know, so, yeah, but I still use it.
Oh, that's good to know, because I was trying to go only to the stove and the oven, and it is very time-consuming. I'm sure it's healthier, but still, I wondered if you were getting healthy.
I use the microwave, too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And you drank out of plastic water bottles. You didn't use a glass water bottle. You just, you know, the sports bottles?
Yeah, I would do that. But, you know, the more and more I read about that, I'm probably going to stay away from that, especially, let's say, I do a lot of biking. I don't put that in a plastic water bottle because of the BPA in there. That heat will bring it right through the BPA into the water.
Yeah, I think it's good for all of us to stay away from that stuff, but it looks
absolutely
like you got well, even though you did use it during your getting well period, but you're still going to go away from it now just because, in general, it's not good for us. So that makes sense.
Am I going away from the microwave? No, I'll still have it.
Okay.
No, I mean, I just can't put everything I want to eat into a stove. I just can't. Sometimes I'm in a hurry. But if you don't stand in front of that microwave, you should be okay. You can put it in the microwave and walk in the other room. Do I do that
yeah,
all
like
the time?
Seven, sometimes
I'll stay right in the kitchen.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Hey, Mary, this is Peter. I want to give a shout-out to you.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for the question.
All right, we have another question from area code 210. 210.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Yes, sir. That's me. Yes, sir. Can't see. Hey, man, I wanted to ask you because, you know, I didn't see anybody ask this, but you mentioned the emotional, you know, battle during this whole thing. Did anybody ever, you know, like attack you or call you crazy during this season? Or did anybody kind of ask you, like, hey, man, you're acting kind of different nowadays. What's going on? And how is that, you know, tied into the emotional battle? And how did that help you or hurt you?
Well, you have to be, I think, selective who you tell this, what's happening to you. If you say people you have more gallant, I try to explain to a couple people. And they, like my family, you know, I didn't even, some of them still don't buy that I have this. But I said, okay, I let it go after a while. I don't try to convince them. But they aren't going to believe me. And I said, listen, you want to tell me to tell a story one time? I'll take you 2 hours and you'll be unbelievable. Your jaw will drop. I don't even bother anymore because some people are going to believe you and others are not. So you just go on. As long as you've got a community you can talk to, and like we're talking here, that helps out. And so when I wanted help, I talked to Mel and John and Peter and others. It really helps out when you talk to other people who are suffering the same. Because then you know you're not a kook. Not that I ever thought I was a kook. I knew I was okay.
Thank you. That's all I needed
great,
to hear.
Great question, Kent. You know, the medical community's refusal to treat us will generate issues with family and friends that make it difficult. It's different for everyone. Just, you know, be cautious what you share and who you trust. But we have
yes,
nothing
sir.
To be ashamed of. None of us did anything wrong to get this disease. It's a disease of toxicity and you know, adrenaline, hormonal imbalances, as John has taught us. So, you know, that's what we do. We focus on the cure, and we have such conference calls like this so people can share what's working and, you know, keep everybody on the same page. And, you know, I think we have the primary treatment right now that is showing results in people getting well. It's incredibly uplifting and exciting right now. An exciting time for them.
I agree because, I mean, I just find it weird that doctors can't put two and two together to just realize that, you know, people across the world aren't going to just get together and fake it on the internet. Because if that was the case, we could.
You're going to become your own physician, Kent. You're going to act as the role of your own primary care. And you know what? You're going to find the
job.
You're going to have the best physician you can have, my friend. So thanks for the question. Great question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, boy. We're really coming close to the end of the first hour, so I think that without further ado, Pete, you ought to bring Miss Ellen forefront and go from there.
Absolutely. Ellen, the lovely Ellen, my beloved friend, greetings to you and welcome. Thanks for being here. Ellen, are you with us?
I must have her muted by accident. Hang on here a second. Just great.
Hey, Peter?
Yes, Pete? Sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm going to have to go.
I got it.
Because I have an...
I think I'm back on. Can you hear me?
Yes, Bill,
yeah,
thank you so much. Go have
okay.
a blessed evening. And I'm so happy that you're better, buddy.
Yeah, I want to
Thanks,
mention one
Billy.
Thing as far as change of lifestyle. Here it is. Like, I have to go to a party here, okay? I had this planned a month ago here, so I have to go there. But here's what I do. I'm going to that party. I just have my organic rice, and I put my Trader Joe's red sauce in there to make it taste real good. I put a little apple cider vinegar, a couple tablespoons. It tastes terrific. But that fills me up with something good. Otherwise, when I know there, I won't be able to eat half that stuff. So that's what it is. So before you go out, sometimes you just have a little good food, and that'll fill you up. So then you maybe just nibble on something when you're there. Anyway, thank you very much. That's all I got, and Have a good conference call, and I'll be listening.
Love you, brother. Stay well.
Recorded.
Thank you.
All right? All right. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Ellen.
Hi.
Mel is messing with you. Hi, my good friend. Welcome, and thanks for being here tonight.
I'm happy to be here.
How's that new grandchild of yours doing, and how are you enjoying being a grandmother?
It's great. Everything's good. I just had surgery. Well, it's 2 months now, and I think that's important to know that you can get through. You know, I mean, a lot of people told me how horrible it was going to be, and it wasn't. And I think, you know, having gone through this Morgellons, it sets you up for, like, being able to handle whatever comes your way. And I think people need to hear that. There is a cure. It works. You have to be patient. And, you know, I think life is going to throw us all kinds of difficult situations we have to get out of. And I think, you know, I didn't know I had the strength to get through this, but obviously I did. And, you know, I think it makes you stronger. I post a lot of those kinds of things because I always say there's nothing special about me. And I think what I mean by that is I don't have superhuman resources or strength or anything else, but I think maybe I'm stubborn. Maybe that's what it is. I never gave up. I never, I felt like
you know
I
what?
Have an alternative.
You've been a blessing. You've been a blessing to this community. What can you tell everybody your thread real quick? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted you to. Can you tell everybody your thread? Because for the new folks here to read your thread would be incredibly helpful, I'm sure.
Well, at first I posted a new warrior from Massachusetts, but I think if you just put my name in the search, I respond a lot more to other people's threads than I post on my own. So, but I think if you typed in Ellen, I think my responses to other people's questions come up too. Because sometimes I don't post on my own. I post to whatever that last posting, like if someone had a question, then I just respond on their thread. So it's a little hard to, you know, it's not a linear thread that you could follow from beginning to end. But I started posting, I think, in November of 2012. So it goes back.
Yeah, and your journey is a really informative one, and you've gotten well so quick once again because of all the informed choices you made. So for those of you out there that want to see how we work the protocol to its fullest and get the most out of it, Ellen's thread will give you lots to read in that regard. So how did you find the website? How did you find the website, Ellen?
I think it was just like lots of, you know, I did a lot of Googling, and I'm going to try to be quick because I know we're running out of time. But like Bill, I ended up getting bit by something, and here's a sad story. I spent $2,000 having a pest control company treat my house for bed bugs, and I never had bed bugs. And after 3 days, the itching and the bumps and the bites came back. And that was probably the lowest point that I was at because I knew this was something else. And the pest control company, the man I worked with, was very nice. They came back to my house 7 times. And they went up in my attic. They looked everywhere. But my daughter actually found the site. And there was a point where I was going to go on this protocol, and there was another protocol. My daughter was, you know, said, well, you have to make up your mind which one of these you're going to do. And the other protocol was a lot simpler than this one. But I think it was because Mel called me. I think that's what happened. He actually, my daughter emailed him, I think, and then he called me. And then I was able to talk to a live human about it. And then that might have been what made me decide. So once I decided on this, I was all in. I never deviated from it. And the other thing that might be different about me is that I never got sicker. And I know Mel told me that, and I was scared. But I just got better from day one. I just got better. By the time I started on the logo supplements, I had already given up sugar. I had already decontaminated my house. I was using every caustic chemical in the world. Probably wasn't healthy, but I didn't know anything. All I knew was that something was in my environment. So I used bleach, I used ammonia, I used all kinds of stuff. And then as I got better, I found out about Clean Green. But in the beginning, I used everything that would kill a living organism, and that may have helped. But I gave up sugar in the beginning. I gave up all my acid foods. I gave up coffee. So by the time I had started on the supplements And then a month later, I started on MMS. I had already changed my diet completely. So I was, I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, and you know what, Ellen, I remember that once again, much like Bill, you were, your diet, knowing you the way I do, your diet was firmly in place. You were eating healthy for a long time before you got sick. And you, once again, you dedicated yourself to the guiding principles in Mel's protocol and the diet and everything that we need to do that challenges us. So congratulations, you know. looks like God led you to the right place, as he does many of us.
Yeah.
So the reason you decided to dedicate to it was that, did your daughter have a strong influence on that? You're very fortunate to have had, and I know she's a wonderful gal, to have had family support in that regard. Much like you, when Mel called me, that was a tipping point because of his human interest. But did you decide to commit to it? What led you to decide to really commit?
I think it's because I talked to Mel, and I think, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to talk to me, but I knew that he was there, I could reach out to him. And then I just, once I started, you know, I had a regimen, and it was a very strict cleaning, laundry. I washed my sheets every, you know, once a day. I never wore the same thing twice. I did put a lot of my clothes in. I would wash them on hot water and dry them on high heat, put them in plastic bins. And it was maybe 4 or 5 months later that when I felt so much better, I actually could take them out of those plastic bins and hang them in the closet. But it was like ground zero here. Everything was plastic. I threw out. And not everybody has to do this. I think because I didn't know what it was that was infecting my house, I just got rid of everything. And a lot of people don't, and that's great. But I had peace of mind. When people walked in, you know, very few people came to visit me. I was very isolated. But, you know, a lot of the things I did that were maybe drastic could be also the things that got me better sooner. I don't know. That's the thing about this for people that are new. If there was a 1 or 2 page cheat sheet we could give you, this is a really creepy, mysterious disease. And what worked for me might not work for everybody else, but I ripped out all my carpeting, and I put in those pergo floors, and I'm still paying for that. I had no money, but I had 3 trips to a dumpster, you know, with belongings, clothes, everything, and it was maybe for peace of mind. I didn't know what was contaminated and what wasn't, so I got rid of everything. And then it just made my place a lot easier to clean. You know, and I don't recommend that for everybody, but that's what I had to do. I'm going to say a little bit about the diet. I used Ezekiel products. They're flourless bread, and they make everything. You can buy flourless tortillas and English muffins, but the Ezekiel brand is pretty good, and it's organic, and, you know, it's pretty healthy, and that's in the freezer section of most grocery stores. But I just went online and I found out what was alkaline versus acidic, and I gave up all the acid foods and mostly ate a lot of vegetables. And I could eat out at restaurants. Everywhere you go, you can get a salad. You can get a piece of fish or a piece of chicken.
Yeah, let me tell everyone how many contributions Ellen has made to the dietary section. She's taken the time to put out some great recipes. Her food choices and the things that she did in terms of eating healthy are there for you. You can use a search engine for that too. But I sure am glad that you didn't have to go through the getting sicker before you got well. So I don't have to.
No, I never did. I'm not a large person, so my maximum I think was 15 drops of MMS, and then I just went down to 12, and I stayed on that for about a year. But I wanted to correct one thing. I think I got better before a year, but I stayed on the whole protocol for an entire year. And I think it's really hard for me to say when I felt like I was free of this disease, but I think when I stopped seeing anything at all on my skin that was worrisome, I think, and I didn't have any kind of other symptoms, but it was probably sooner than a year that I got better.
Well, you and I walked a lot of that year together, gal, and I'll tell you what, you were a breath of fresh air for me, and we kind of worked together.
And we laughed a lot, too, didn't we, Peter?
Yes,
we did.
We did
laugh a lot.
It goes to the heart.
Nothing else,
this disease is absurd. No one would believe you.
Yeah.
Unless, the only people who believe you are the people who have it, because it's absurd,
yeah.
And it makes no sense. And, you know, and it also, you need to give people hope that without a medical provider to help you, you can still get well. And the support on this website is so important, because I gave up with dealing with my doctor, and I kept her to deal with other medical issues, but it was never mentioned. After the first initial, you know, she wanted me to see a psychiatrist. You know, that was disappointing, but I just stopped, you know, looking for that support from her. I knew it wasn't going to come, you know, that recognition. I knew it wasn't going to come, so I just concentrated on getting better on my own.
You were always focused on the cure, and I'll tell you what, you've been a blessing here. You were a blessing in my life, and I'm just thrilled that you're better and maintaining your health, and God bless you. God bless you. Before you tell us your story from beginning to end, you know, I have to ask for myself, what was the hardest part for you, Helen?
I think probably the fact that I have a lot of people in my life that need my help, and I have a sister who's disabled, and I have elderly parents, and I had one grandchild at the time, and I couldn't be around them. So the isolation was horrible. And I didn't know how contagious I was. I have a feeling it's not that easy to spread this. But I didn't want to take that chance. So that was the hardest part. And for people that are new, if you get better, you can get through that isolation because it's temporary. If you think you're going to have to avoid contact with your loved ones forever, that's impossible to accept. That's just too difficult. But I always felt like I would get better, and that, you know, it was only temporary.
Oh, wonderful. Well, if you'd like, you know, if you could tell us your story from beginning to end, we'd love to hear how you got well and what the experience meant to you.
Well, in the interest of time, I feel like I just did. But if there's something
specific
that you think is missing, I'm happy to answer that.
No, we can, Mel, we can open it up to questions, you think?
Okay, well, we have a question waiting on area code 917. Go ahead.
Hi, Ellen. Hi, Peter. Hi, Mel. Hi, John. This is Shari.
Sounds like Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Ellen, you have mentioned that you didn't necessarily have a specific time where you knew that you had gotten well, but did you stop seeing things on your skin? Could you go a little bit more into detail what these things were exactly that you originally were seeing, and how
sure.
they kind of
yeah.
tapered off?
Yeah, I can do that. So in the
beginning,
I just had a lot of lumps and bites and lights and things like that. I had cuts, like the paper cuts. And they didn't bleed, they were just opening into my skin. I had a lot of little bumps. And I did have a lot of black specks and a lot of white specks. And they gradually decreased after a couple of months. So the really difficult, and I did have some fibers that were kind of metallic looking. And that stopped after the first couple months. The only symptoms that lasted were the bumps on my skin. That took a long time. And I had a lot of
problems. Ellen?
I'm sorry, you said itchy bumps on your skin?
Mm-hmm.
So those took a long time to dissipate, but eventually did.
Yeah.
Take it.
Okay.
Did you have any treatment? Did you, by any chance, ever see any type of increasing brown spots?
Hold on a second. Mel, there's a lot of background noise on my phone. An echo, so I don't know if other people are getting that, but I just wanted to check.
Yes, I'm getting it. I suggest that you mute everybody.
Mute everybody
and unmute the other talk.
think we got everybody muted.
Okay.
Don't mute Ellen.
Okay. So did you by any chance have any kind of brown spots that seemingly came out of nowhere? Hello?
Just hang on a second. Okay. Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't have brown spots, but I had a lot of things. Okay. And Freeman, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, this is Freeman. This is Shari's fiance, the guy with the bad jokes. So my situation is a little bit different from the beginning. I didn't have any symptoms, and since I started the protocol, I started the protocol without any symptoms, actually. And when I was on the protocol, I started getting symptoms. And then I did an experiment. I went off the protocol, and I had no symptoms. I had no itching, no nothing. But when I went on it, you know, it started happening. But my question is, right now we're in a situation where, you know, I have to work. I work like 10 hours a day. I've been working 10 hours a day, except 2 days of the week. And those 2 days I work 5 hours. And for the last time, we're getting ready to move as well, too. So my question to you, if I can remember it now, to Ellen, is when you're getting healed and I'm back on the protocol now. I'm going to start it up again. I'm really close to my fiance. You know, we stopped sleeping in the same bed, and I actually every night I drive to my friend's house to sleep over there. How did you, if anybody was around you, you know, how would you, I guess my biggest thing is, like, how do you know, I don't know if I'm affecting her more, if she's affecting me more, and this is the time span of, like, you know, how do I know, like, it will get better for her and myself, too, because I'm my body's reacting completely different to her. You know, it's
yeah.
really weird
yeah.
how my body's working. It's like I can heal really fast. We're at the point where I can be on the thing and I will have no symptoms at all. And then I go on it, then I'll have it again. But when I stay on it a little bit, then it will go away again, opposed to her. And it's hard because, you know, there's all these things going on. Like, we have to, like, try to figure out going to New York and getting married and stuff like that, too. So I just
yeah.
advice. I just need advice, like, you know, how did you buy your loved ones in close proximity to the people that you cannot be around? Like, you had to be around them, you know. Each day. Do you have any advice for that?
Well,
or, like,
I can tell you that
when I first started seeing these black spots and white spots, I didn't even know at that point that I had.
Wait a minute, Ellen. Hey, Shari and Friedman, if you're using two phones, that's no good.
We're not.
No, we're using the same phone.
Okay, well, I don't know why we're having. Go ahead, Ellen.
There's a bit of an echo.
I think I know why. Hold on 1 second. Can you hear me now? Is it better?
I'll try to answer that. So I had these things that were coming off my skin, little black spots, white spots. I didn't know I had Morgellons at the time, so I didn't know enough to stay away from people. By the time I did, you know, I would wear long sleeves. I wouldn't hug people. I kept away, you know, it's cold where I live, so I can get away with wearing a lot of clothes, and I purposely stayed away from people who might be already sick or elderly, and I was just very, very careful. And here's the thing, you don't know. There's too much about this disease that you don't know. You don't know if you're putting someone else at risk. If you see a lot of things coming off your skin, then I would say that there's probably a better chance that this is something that, you know, you could possibly give to somebody. But I think the jury's still out on that, whether we actually spread it that way. It's very mysterious, but I was very careful. And I stayed away, and I stayed home a lot. I still went to work, but I was very careful at work. And I didn't hug people, and I was, you know, I was careful to cover up as much of my skin as I could. So the more things that you see that are coming out of the pores of your skin, then probably the more you have to be concerned. I think, I don't know, there may be something else that Mel wants to add to that.
Yeah, there's a lot I want to add to this. You two are in an unusual situation, okay, where you both are very different body-wise and reaction-wise. So you're both going to react different. And I think if you keep worrying if one of you is going to give it to the other one, you're going to drive yourselves crazy. And you're going to feed fuel for the disease. Because when people have anxiety and tension, it fuels the disease. So you've got to make decisions that only you two can make. None of us can advise you on what to do with your life. Okay? And, young man, if you get symptoms when you take the protocol, that should tell you that it must be inside of you and it wants to come out once you start building up the inside. So the best thing to do is to get on the protocol and stay on it and work it. Okay, we have a lot of other questions. Got three other hands up, so I'm going to go ahead and take the next question if you guys don't mind.
No, of course. I just,
thanks, Mel.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. The one thing, your honesty is, it's definitely one thing I really appreciate. So thank you both. Thank you for your time.
Well, let's start fine.
I think Peter can tell you all that I'll probably never tell you what you want to hear, but I'll always tell you what I believe the truth is. Next question is coming from area code 609.
609. Ellen.
Hi,
Ellen. Hey, Ellen. This is Kim. Did you use like anything topically as far as like Clean Green, Clean Free, anything like that?
Okay. Here's what I did on my skin. I washed with mostly Bonner's peppermint soap, and then after I would mix an oil like tea tree or sometimes I use neem oil, just a couple of drops, and I mix that with unscented mineral oil. And that kept, you know, I tried to use things that were chemical-free. And I also used, I must have read this somewhere, but I used Vicks Vapor Rub, if you can believe it. I had a lot of problems with my feet itching terribly, and it kept me up at night. I couldn't sleep. So I would put Vicks Vapor Rub on my feet and put socks over it, and that seemed to help. In the very beginning, the itching was so bad that I didn't sleep at all. And so that the oils that you can, you know, there's a lot of suggestions. People use different things, lavender oil. I mix them up, but they're very potent, so I only use a few drops, and then I would mix that.
They describe what this was. It is a,
Okay, is that it from you, 609? Okay, we have another question from area code 513.
Hi, I have a couple quick questions, if I can fly through them. I'm noticing a bunch of hairs, like little kinky little hairs that are flying off of me, off of my kids when I'm doing their hair, in the car, in the sunlight or light. Does anyone have any experience with that?
Well, we'll put it to you this way. Stuff like that's all over the website, so it's normal.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately.
Ellen?
What about webs all over your house, like lines that are in the registers and along the walls? They just look like thin spider webs.
I didn't, but other people have described that in their houses.
Yes.
And I have one last question. Is I'm also noticing that there's an electronic somehow component. It's like lights will flicker when I go by, my kid's Xbox, things in my car seem like electronic problems. Has anyone had anything like that?
Not really.
I didn't experience that.
Interesting. Would the clean green get rid of these hairs all over and webs?
I think if you know how to use a clean green, it seems expensive, but because you dilute it, you can use it to spray. I sprayed, once I realized that that could help and it wasn't, you know, a toxic cleaner to use, I sprayed things that I couldn't clean. So I think it probably wouldn't hurt to spray that, you know, on your walls. Or I used to spray after I took the shower, I would spray the shower stall with that and spray the floor down. So it doesn't hurt, and I sprayed the outside of my furniture that I couldn't wash, for example. So I don't think it would hurt just to use that.
Do you think once you see less of these hairs coming off of you or your children, it's a sign you're getting better?
I think it's the way it manifests itself, someone else can weigh in, but I think that's something that your skin is purging. So it's a sign that you have this disease.
Right.
And the more you get better and the more you're on the protocol, you'll just see less and less of that. Those things will disappear.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We
Great
have
questions.
A lot more questions. So go ahead, Pete.
I was just going to say great questions. And Mel, I learned from you. I can remember Mel chuckling and saying, hey, listen, kid, as you get better, your environment will get better. And that brought me to the realization that a lot of this particulate matter is coming out of our bodies. So as we get well, we finish our detox and get it all out, the environment will follow suit. In the meantime, don't be scared. It's bugs. A lot of the bugs people see, I think, are just floaters that are, you know, mimicking bugs. And, you know, you can't tell the difference sometimes. So, you know, there are secondary parasites. There are secondary parasites involved with this, but your environment will improve as you get better.
Do you agree, Peter? Better out than in?
Absolutely. That's one of our sayings here.
Don't be afraid of what you see come out. That's what it wants you to do. It wants you to get afraid, and it wants you to be tense, and it wants you to be nervous, but it's normal. If you're going to get better, you're going to get worse, and things are going to come out of your body. And I promise you, and as you get better, the environment sort of cleans itself up. We have
very strange way that happens, but it does.
Five more questions, so I'm going to go ahead and 609, you're up, 609.
Ellen, I just had one last question for you. You didn't mention pets. You haven't dealt with any pets. Have you talked to anybody on the website about dealing with pets or heard anything? I've done
no.
as much reading as I can.
Do you? Well, if you have a pet, it may be more of a challenge because your pets can have this too. And then, you know, getting rid of it yourself is one thing, and dealing with your pets. And there's a lot on the site. But I can tell you one story. When I was at my parents' house, they have a cat. And I had sandals on, and I wouldn't go in their house. At this point, you know, I was just so scared in the beginning. And I looked at the bottom of my feet, and they were covered with fleas. And they were biting me, and they weren't biting anyone else. And I think there's this thing, we attract different kinds of insects. I don't know why, but I think having a pet can make it more complicated to treat.
I think it's inhibited. I definitely agree with you that there, because I think it's kind of inhibited my healing, because my pain is for them, not so much for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really, yeah, it's really hard. And
I'm sorry.
What's that, Mel?
I have the answers here. So I figured for the sake of time, I just answered the question. Ma'am, I've talked
Perhaps,
to somebody.
No, you could tell them the thread real quick, the buttons thread, that where Teresa had introduced him.
Yeah.
Especially healed her animals.
I'm going to get there. Okay, we've had so many people with pets, okay? If you put cats, dogs, and pets, those three words in the search engine, you'll get a plethora of articles. The main thrust is that with pets, two things together work very well. MMS in the water and revolution from the pet store. But
right.
you can read
right.
all about that. It's everywhere on the website. In our hope and inspiration section, there's a story of buttons. There's a video that comes with that story that talks about a gentleman named Andres Clocker, who was afraid of MMS, So he gave it to his dog. And when the dog got younger, he decided he was going to try it. So
wow.
There's so much information there, ma'am. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and read so we can just move along here tonight.
Thank you, Mel.
You're welcome. All right, area code 417. 417. You have a question for Ellen?
Yes. Hi, this is Melissa again. Just a quick question, Ellen. You mentioned the oils that you used after a bath, the neem and the tea tree, with the
mm-hmm.
mineral oil. What was the ratio that you used, like a couple drops of neem or tea tree to how much mineral
yeah.
oil?
Here's what I did. I took those little paper cups, little Dixie cups, and I would mix like an eighth of a cup of mineral oil, maybe a little more, and I would just put a few drops of the oil. So it was my own little, you know, concoction I made up. But it, you know, it seemed to... The main thing is those oils are very strong, so you don't need to use a lot.
Okay. Thanks.
And
I
then I would just
that.
Throw the paper cup away. So that's how I did it every night. I didn't mix it up ahead of time. And I don't know if you
right.
if you could maybe make it easier, but that's what I did.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have another question from area code 202. 202.
Hello?
202,
hi.
Yes, on the air.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. My question was, the young lady just said something about the electronics, but mine is electrostatic. It's to the point where anytime I touch a bag or anything like that, it falls apart. Is there something that we are eating or something that we can eat to reduce the amount of electrostatic? Because I can't even bring my groceries in without the bag falling completely apart because of all the shocks that's going through it, so it's ripping the bags apart. And I know I had mentioned it before to Mel, but it just seems like it's increasing. So I don't know if anybody understands that component of the disease or what causes it.
Well, I'm going to ask John, okay, if he has any thoughts on this. Because I've probably only heard about this four times total in 5.5
years. John, when you're done, I have some thoughts, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts also. This is Peter. John, are you there? Mel, you don't have him muted, do you?
No, I don't have John muted.
Well, you muted me a second ago. That's why about
I know.
Back
I thought you were an echo. So why don't you answer the question first, and when he comes
There's a very, you know, as Ellen has said, and excuse me, Ellen, I don't mean to trump you, but it's a very mysterious disease. But the more I get well, the more I learn about it, and there are some really simple explanations for a lot of these things. If you look at a lint connector in your dryer. You know, people will open their dryers, and it's happened to me too, and they'll think, oh my goodness, there's flies coming out of my dryers, and they fly right to me. It's just lint. It's just lint. And every living organism has an electromagnetic field. This particular organism just happens to have high electromagnetic properties. Thus, it has a tendency to be attracted to electronics, and it has a tendency to be attracted to the electromagnetics that any person will have. In our case, since we have a lot of the pathogen in us, like meets with like, so it tracks right back to us if we're standing in a line because we're more magnetic than the person in front of us. But it's a natural part of life, electromagnetics, and I think a lot of what you're seeing is the fibers that come out that are very small and very weak. And so you can see it as, you know, you can once again understand why it gets less and less as we get well. I just wanted to say one other thing to the skin question. Your skin, you have a new set of skin every 35 days, basically, and your skin acts as an excretory organ. So it's trying, you know, your regular pathways, your urine and stool can't get everything out. And so when you have die-off, symptoms are often a good thing because, like Mel said, better out than in. It's part of your detox. It has to come out. And the more that comes out, the better you get. So the skin is going to purge. It's just a way for you to eliminate this pathogen and fibers and cellular debris from your body. It's going to load in your clothes until you're putting out less from your body, and then your clothes are going to get better, your environment's going to get better. And, you know, so I wouldn't be alarmed. I wouldn't let it generate fear. I would just see that it's just high electromagnetic properties that this particular life form has, nothing more, in my opinion.
Okay. Am I still unmuted? Okay, the reason why I asked that question is because that's how I realized that something was wrong. And what I noticed is that the people that are closest around me, I noticed that when they touch plastic now, that their bags tear. So does that, you're saying that it's an organism that's inside of us that's causing this electrostatic. So does that mean that all the persons, because all the people I work with now, I've watched their plastic. Their plastic is tearing if they have a bag in their hand. So you're telling me that that's a symptom. Because that's the only reason why, that was one of the first things that I noticed that was wrong with me, is that I kept tearing plastic. And I thought it was the weirdest thing, and I just couldn't understand it. And when I spoke to Mel, he told me it was ecstatic. So I was thinking, I was just trying to figure out, is there a food or something that we're eating that was causing it? But now you're telling me it's a pathogen. So you are telling it that it is a living thing inside of our body that's causing this. It is a being. It was my understanding.
Well, I don't think any of us really know, ma'am. I don't think there is a smoking gun. I just accept that it's co-infection, and I accept that when things come out of my skin, they don't any longer. When they did, that was a natural process of my body eliminating cellular debris, and that a lot of the lint things that were flying around me were not actually bugs. It was just lint. And the same way it collects in a lint dryer, it was collecting in my hair and in my clothes. As I got better, all that reversed out. So I don't claim nor have I ever claimed, nor should anyone claim to suggest that they know what Morgellons is. We may never know. I just accept that it's co-infection, and I accept that when you give the body what it needs, it pushes this in terms of diet and the meds and work the protocol, that it pushes this stuff out. And if you stay with it, sooner or later, you get it all out and you get well. So in the meantime, there's a lot of craziness to it, as a lot of mystery about these things. But I think that the simplest Axum's razor, the simplest conclusion is oftentimes the best. And simply to me, it's just, you know, fibers, very particulate cellular debris that's lighter than air, that's floating around and just happens to load on us and attract to us like lint within a dryer, to a lint tray.
But that doesn't answer the question, why does it tear the plastic bag?
There's many, many questions like that, and many, many things that happen that we don't even focus on here because we don't have the answers. So we don't even spend the time on those questions. We focus on the cure.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's the answer. I don't mean to be rude, but that's the simplest answer.
No, you're not being rude. I don't want to stay on it. You know, I don't want to stay on it.
Okay. You just got to kind of roll with those things and know that they'll get better. And if you hang in there, you'll see that they get better.
John, since it appears you might be back, do you have anything to add?
Hey, sorry about that. I actually had muted myself and didn't realize it.
No, I realized.
I was afraid that I might.
That's why I knew you were back. Well, let me say this. You know, we've been doing this a long time. My friend, you've been helping me forever. And, you know, this electric static part, you know, in all the years, we've only heard about it four or five different times. So that means that a minute percentage of the people that we know that get the disease actually have the problem that this young lady is going through. But I've never heard of somebody being able, by touching something, to make a paper bag rip itself apart. Can you explain that so I understand it?
Actually, I've never heard of that either. And I'll have to say, the answer that Peter gave to the original question, I certainly don't think I could do anything to improve on it.
Yeah.
That's obviously one of these phenomenons that we don't understand.
Right. It's just one of the mysteries that no one really has that particular answer. And, again, the focus has always been just getting people well, because all the stuff that's wrong eradicates itself. Do you agree,
Those
Ellen?
Are distractions. Those are distractions,
yeah,
are they not, Ellen?
If I can just quickly add, I think you explained it the same way I would, Peter, which is
if you focus on all of these crazy things, you start to think that you really are losing your mind. The thing that helped me was I knew I wasn't crazy, and I couldn't think about all those mysterious things that were happening to me. I had to focus on getting better. And then once you start to get better, those weird symptoms will go away. And we wish that we had a very specific answer for everybody's symptoms, because not everybody has the same manifestation of this. It's a really mysterious thing. So we're not going to have an answer for everybody other than, you know, if you can focus on getting better, and then hopefully these horrific things will disappear.
We have two more questions, so I'm going to move us along because we're running a little bit over the expectancy. So 417, do you have a question?
Yes, hi, it's Melissa again. And I just really have a comment regarding the electrostatic type situations. I think that's too how I realized that something was not right, because every time I went to turn a light switch off, it would, like, buzz. And nobody else in the house was having that but me. And then the sensations and then all the other weird stuff. But I, too, just said, you know what? This has to be part of it. And I can't think about this. I need to think about what next. So
I would like to say that you have a magnetic personality. You're probably a very charming woman with an extremely magnetic personality. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I'd like to think that.
Thank you.
That way the peer goes.
If you can find any humor in this at all to get you through it, you know, it will help. It really will.
Okay, we have one more question from 813, area code 813. Go ahead.
Okay.
813, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Go ahead.
I want to know if you can eat plain yogurt and then put stevia in it.
Well, I can answer that I didn't eat yogurt because it's dairy, but some people did and had no problem. So if it's unsweetened, maybe, you know, other people don't have a problem with it. But I didn't have any dairy in the beginning. I do now because I don't, you know, have any symptoms. But you could try it and see how your body reacts.
Right, we tell people on the website that if you're going to introduce a new food, don't eat the whole thing. Just eat a little bit and then see the next day how you feel, if you had a reaction or not. And if nothing negative, then you can eat a little more next time. Just slow and steady on all things.
Mel, can I make one comment right now for this young lady? I would just like to say that those people that know me know that I am a firm advocate of using food as medicine. So you have challenged me. I would like you to know that I will be researching whether or not there's a particular food that might reduce electromagnetics. I will be looking for you, and that's a great challenge.
Thank you.
I'll find a food if there is one. Ellen, do you know of one? I don't, but I'll be looking.
I don't.
All right, let's get this next question here. Question from area code 609 again.
Hello?
Go ahead. Is that 813?
Thank you. What do you do for these black things that are constantly in my eyes?
What do you do for black things? Well, I would say that if there's things coming out of your eyes, that's one way that your body's trying to get rid of them. And in the beginning, I took 2 or 3 showers a day when I could. And I just felt like the more I could, you know, wash this stuff off me, that's what helped me. I didn't happen to get things in my eyes. But it's probably just another way that you're purging some of the you know, some of those specks, they have to get out. So
I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if you started the protocol.
Yes.
Okay, and how long have you started MMS?
Well, I around 5 years ago, I started the protocol. And then for 2.5 years later, I was totally free and clean of it. However, my cat gave it back to me around 2 years ago, and I'm still fighting it.
Well, if you get it a second time, I assure you it's more difficult, because the second time they told me I was going to die. Even my closest friends thought so as well. So you just hang
now,
in
this
there.
Is Peter, can you explain how the silver might help her eyes, Mel? You know about that better than I do. Silver
okay,
drops
well,
in the eyes?
Right. Again, something I never did, but so many of the women on the website who had problems with the eyes actually got eyedroppers and put molecular silver in their eyes in a dropper. And it washed out these things, and it helped them from getting them to come back in the eyes. So that would be, it was good that you mentioned it, Pete.
Yeah, I just wanted you, you to share that.
I recognize
never,
this lady's
I've never done
voice.
It.
I just can't put her name with her voice. I know who you are, don't I?
I don't know.
Yeah, I do know who you are. I remember your voice. Like I said, I just can't put your name with it.
I
well,
just know that.
You send me an email, and let me spend some time on the phone with you together.
Okay.
Send me your phone number. And I will give you a call just sometime during the week.
Okay. Are you ready?
Because we could talk about the cats. We got to get them fixed, too.
The cats died, but I
sorry to hear that.
With a perforated bowel from one of these things.
Okay. That I believe. And, I've heard that before. All right. Well, let's just get in touch and talk a little more after the conference call.
Okay.
Send me your number to my email address. It's in the welcome letter on the homepage and in the welcome letter in the forum.
Okay.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
I believe we have one more question, and it was from 609, so let me unmute you. 609, did you have a question?
Yeah, Mel, it was more or less a comment, one for the lady that just spoke about her eyes. I know that I had intense black dots in my left eye. Anytime I moved my eye, it would be there. It looked like something was going across the room, but I knew it was in my eye. I started putting coconut oil in my eye twice a day. It went away in about a week. As far as the electromagnetic properties, I have noticed that in myself, like in the beginning of this illness, my clothes would stick to me. I mean, just clearly stick to me. My cat would run across the couch and you could see flashes of light underneath, like sparks almost, underneath his fur that was going across the couch. That has lessened. And I noticed, I mean, I've only been on the protocol for about 11 days, but I have definitely noticed just in those 11 days that constant kind of like blah, like magnetic feeling has dissipated. Also my chronic dizziness and putting my head back every time I would turn my head to the right, the whole room would spin. That's completely gone. And I'm relieved. So there is hope, and I think we should just, you know, I agree definitely with Peter about more or less not trying to analyze, you know, these crazy symptoms, they can't be explained. It's more or less trying to just get to the finish line with the cure. And that's pretty much all I got, Mel.
Okay, well.
Thank you, ma'am.
You know,
thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. From the very, very beginning, we've never focused on anything but getting better. Because everything but getting better is a distraction to getting better. And the only thing that's important is regaining your health.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is, where it is, what's going on, it doesn't matter. It only matters that as many people can get well as possible. So, Ellen, do you have
so
any
everybody out there listening, Mel, should make a guiding principle, avoid distractions, particularly ugly and alarming websites. Just avoid them. You say it so eloquently. Those distractions will be a distraction from getting well.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen, do you have anything to say in closing?
First of all, thank you, everybody that tunes in, and I know there's a lot more people who listen than actually are speaking up. And I, in the beginning, I listened, but I never joined in. And if that's what you can do at this point in time, then continue to do that. And I read every day. I haven't had this really symptoms for more than a year, and I still read every single post. So it's really important to keep up with the forum threads. It'll give you strength, and you know it's you're not alone. For the many more people that actually go to Mel's site than post, that's probably doing a lot of good, and I'm really glad that people do tune into these conference calls and that read the posts. It's so important, and you know, whenever you feel like you need to reach out, people will reach out back to you. So I just want to thank Peter and Mel for inviting me in tonight.
God
thank
bless
you,
you
very much.
You are a blessing.
So with you, Pete, I'm going to go ahead and announce the next conference call and explain to everybody that you made me do it.
Okay. And when you're done, if I just might have a couple minutes just to make a closing statement for all the new people before we end this thing, I'd appreciate like a minute or something.
Closing statement before I let John lead us in prayer. But
right.
We're going to do another conference call on January 11th. And at the request of many people who have been emailing, and Peter, who's been prompting me because he says he gets many people to ask him, people want me to do a show called Ask Mel. Well, I thought people were getting tired of hearing me and tired of reading what I had to say because, you see, I always say the same things over and over and over again because that's what happened, that's what is, and this is what got me better. So I'll be glad to do it again because I haven't done it in a while because I thought you were all bored. But we're going to do it on the 11th, and we're going to bring Amber, who was supposed to be a guest twice in a row, who first time her phone didn't work, and then this week we practiced all week with her phone, and then I don't know what happened, but she's going to be here on the 11th, and she's going to be a great part of the show. Amber has a fantastic story to tell. A story of an entire family, a husband, two children, and a mother, who all got well under the same roof. But the most unbelievable part of her story is that her little boy, Matt, he also had leukemia, and somehow, with God's help, our protocol cured his leukemia. So you should be here on January 11th. You can ask Mel. And you can listen to Amber tell the story of her entire family. And I personally wish every one of you a healthy and happy new year. But the most important thing is that I pray for all of you that you have your health restored. Peter, you make a closing statement. John, if you would lead us in a closing prayer, I'm done.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, the beloved man that just said I'm done has a birthday that he's going to be celebrating tomorrow. So I want to be the first to extend publicly in front of everyone the happiest of birthdays to you, my captain, and to remind you that tomorrow is the one day that you actually do get to eat whatever you want. Not every day, okay, but tomorrow you do. And I also want to mention that the other beloved mentor to me and the one that provides the manna to us all, John, will be celebrating his birthday 3 days later on the 18th. So I don't know how old John is going to be. He's never told me that. But, brother, I want to extend to you, be the first to wish you a very happy birthday and tell you that tomorrow's the one day that you get to do anything you want to, as long as it's not trying to wink the boat out of the lake on your own. Okay. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Pete.
I want to thank everyone that participated tonight and leave you with this thought. I am doing so wonderfully well. The emotion overcomes me. And tonight, one of the most wonderful things happened today. I've always told you folks that, part of this, part of the emotional problems that we have with this disease are physiological, and your reactions to stress and fear are going to be off the charts. I had used to be a person with anxiety, and today I had to experience anxiety as I got prepared for this call because it was new and fresh, and of course I wanted to do a good job. I experienced, I want to tell everyone, a normal anxiety response, a normal response to anxiety, and I felt the difference. And it further convinces me, as I wanted to persuade and convince all of you, this disease is curable. You dedicate to this protocol, and you will get well. Believe it. Know it to be true. And for all those out there that are beginning, just stick to it. Slow and steady, some of the parts, everything that Mel taught me that I try to teach all of you. There is no quick fix. Make that your guiding principle. Do not mix protocols. Make that a guiding principle. Remain steady and patient. Make that a guiding principle. Keep faith that you will heal and reduce stress and anxiety, and pay attention to diet and all the other things that this website gives to you. It's a gift, it's a blessing, and you are all going to get well, okay? I know that, and my faith extends to all of you in that regard. I love you all. You're my only family, so, you know, be blessed. And Mel, happy birthday. John, happy birthday. And thanks for being here, everybody. God bless.
Okay, now what Peter forgot to tell you is that he came to the realization that he was all better because he ate a first piece of chocolate cake and had no reaction.
Amen. Amen. I'm well, folks, and you will be too. Believe it.
John?
Yes, sir.
Roughly.
Well, I just would love to thank you, Peter. What an awesome job you did tonight. Thank all of the guests that were so awesome in their presentation as well. Thank you as well to a big thank you. Obviously, goes to Mel. His determination is what has made all of this possible. But the title that Mel chose to give to this call was a Christmas Wish for All, and I think in this season of the year, that's very appropriate. And Peter just spoke from his heart what his wish was for all of you, and Mel did too. I want to echo that wish as well, that everyone who is here and everyone who hears this call later will find the source of inspiration they need to move on and through this, and to learn things from it that they could not learn any other way. But since this is the Christmas season, I think it's appropriate that we do end this call in prayer. So I'm going to do that now. So let's do. Father God, I thank you for everyone that is here and everyone who will hear this later. I know that it's not an accident that anyone that hears this does so. So I just thank you and give you the praise and the glory for bringing us together. I thank you for the incredible relationships and friendships that have grown out of this, all of this trial and tribulation and suffering that everyone here holds in common. And I know that it's so awesome to see someone like Peter go from where he was when I first encountered him to where he is now. And he's just such a strong source of wisdom and love and light and inspiration. I thank you for that, Lord. I ask you to protect him and continue to just fill him with your spirit and your wisdom and your love. Lord, for everyone here, who is some of whom are in a dark place, I just ask that you would make yourself known to them. They would feel your presence during these holidays, especially as we celebrate the birth of your Son, who is the source of all hope. We just thank you for loving us the way you do, Lord, and we give you all the honor and the glory for the joy that we have in this season, because without you, we wouldn't have. So I thank you, Lord. We pray these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For his sake.
Well, I want to thank everybody once again.